Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Friday, happy Valentine's Day. Love is in the air here for sure at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, a Fox Sports Knoxville fan-run radio. It is your end of the week Valentine's Day edition of Overtime, clocking in here on your Friday evening. Tanner Carson along for the ride for the next 2 hours with, once again, John Tyler lending his talents to the producer's perch up here. Hayden Wallen's still in the studio. He's just hanging out, though. Hayden doesn't like us that much. See, look, he just got the podcast done.
He's out.
He's about to head back to the try. Hayden, all right, he's heading back up to the try. Get some pals.
See the lady friend.
Get you a sauce burger.
Oh, yeah.
Get you a Dr. Enough. Do you like Dr. Enough, Hayden? It's all right. Okay. I prefer the tea at Pals, but that's another discussion.
Never been.
Was that your first job, Hayden? Oh, well. How's that training? I hear that training is just absolutely like military training. Hey, but they do have the best service of any fast food. Shout out to Pals. Shout out to Hayden Wallen. Be safe, Hayden, on your trip back up to the tribe. But we are with you in here in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. 2 more hours. Tanner Carson, John Tyler with Overtime here. John, it's been a this is the end of the marathon day for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we're starting hour number 6 for me today.
Woo!
Yeah, it's been fun.
So, I mean, I'd ask you about the drive. I mean, you're part of the drive, so I mean, that's, you know, typical every day. How was Get Blitzed?
It was magical. It was a magical. Well, I mean, I walked in at like 9:30 this morning and I was just like, "Man, this is so early to be here." Like, I'm used to getting here at like 2:30 in the afternoon. So, like, not it's a completely different place that early. The studio is.
There's a different crowd.
Yeah.
There's a different crowd here.
Yeah. You know, you've got the Godfather here and Cress and Billy and Davey.
Did our dog show up, by the way?
I did not see it today. Okay. I think that they're keeping it from Houston.
Mm.
And my fear, here's my thing about it, is if the dog disappears, we know where the dog is gone.
Exactly.
And they know where the dog is gone. So it's dangerous. Yeah.
It'd
I'm worried.
It'd be pretty obvious at that point. So the Blitz went good?
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, just Chance gave us some Valentine's recipes for the guy for guys to use, you know, $20 or less. Yeah, it was good. And
Chance is a culinary expert.
He is. If you follow him on Twitter, he put out his setup for tonight. He's making dinner for his lady, and he laminated a menu and everything. Like, it's he went all out.
That is the extra mile right there.
Yeah, he's the guru.
It's definitely a Captain Romance type of deal right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not making any type of fancy meal like that. I'm just hanging out here with you, John.
Yeah.
It's a bromance night.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. We recognize bromances on Valentine's Day.
All you single people out there, all you guys that are trying to figure out what to do, just tune in 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, or on the app and
prayers for those of you who, like, also just probably just got in a relationship like a week ago.
Mm.
Oh, you rookies. You absolute rookies.
Yeah.
Give it like another week or two.
Yeah,
you could save yourself some money. Save yourself plenty of money. But hey, I mean, I can't force you to spend your money either which way. But we got plenty to get into here. Everyone with you until 8 o'clock on your Valentine's Day evening out here. So, I mean, yeah, I once again, happy Valentine's Day here. John Tyler, what's your thoughts on just the holiday in general? Are you one of these people that's always thought that it's just like a Hallmark company holiday type of deal?
You know, I think that you should appreciate your lady all the time, not just on Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? You know, you need to make them feel special all the time. No, that's the cop-out answer.
That's what I'd say, too, to get out of myself from buying stuff.
It's, I mean, it's fine. This is my first Valentine's Day alone in 10 years or so. So it's different, but, you know, you just got to stay away from the sappy movies and all the sappy love stuff. And just, that's why I've been here all day. You know, it worked out for me.
I'm trying to think how many, I think I've only had to deal with like one where I've had to like two. It's been two. I've had to like go all out. But like other ones, like it's just been timed right to where I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. So I miss the build up of the knowing the day special and all that jazz, and I don't know. I miss that, but it's fine.
I tell you what's going to be special tonight. It's for those of those people out there that are working in the food service industries.
Oh, man.
So it can either be like a good or a bad thing. If there's anyone working as a server out there tonight, they probably do like this because, you know, a Friday night, you're going to make bank usually anyway, but Friday night, Valentine's Day, whew.
Yeah, you would think.
Make yourself some bank tonight.
You would think so. I know a lot of people will do it like the day after Valentine's Day. I have a friend who they'll do the 15th because the 14th is always so crowded and it's hard to get reservations places. So they'll just do like a chill thing on the 14th and then go out on the 15th. It's pretty a cool idea.
That's a good little strategy.
So I bet this being a weekend, it may go through the whole weekend. Some people may do stuff on Saturday or Sunday instead of tonight. So servers may have a great weekend.
If you want to get yourself out of having a hectic situation, I'd probably do something like that. I can't imagine all the different restaurants tonight. Like if you wanted to take your significant other out to one of the nicer establishments in the area, forget about it. Especially if they're a place that does not take reservations, forget about it.
You can forget that.
Absolutely forget about it. So because of that, you would have places like in. I mean, no offense by this. It's a quality establishment, but you would have places like Texas Roadhouse and things like that. Just absolutely.
I hate
just,
that place, though. So
you hate Texas Roadhouse?
Yeah, and they never cook my steak right, so it's just it's pointless for me to go there.
I've never had a bad complaint. No, but that's a different.
Maybe
topic.
You like peanuts. Maybe people are big peanut fans.
I've never once had like the peanuts from Texas Roadhouse.
Really?
No? And I like peanuts. I don't want to like spend my time just cracking open the shell and everything like that.
Save it for the bread.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, because you're going to fill up on that bread. If you want to fill up on carbs and stuff like that bread's it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, yeah, good luck to any of you that are going to try to be out there tonight. Just best of luck to you. It's going to be like trench warfare in World War I trying to get a table tonight is what it's going to be.
Hopefully you made plans weeks ago.
Hopefully. Here. John, I've been thinking about like other topic just for today and things like that. I saw Talk Sports earlier today. They power ranked like the best love songs. So I've been thinking about
what's
someone's favorite love songs. Also, I was thinking romantic comedies, like romance movies and things like that. Are you a fan of the rom-coms? Are you a fan of like your cheesy love songs?
Yeah. You know, this year, no. But yeah, in general, yes, for sure. You know, The Notebook has to be number one. I mean, in terms of movies,
have made it somehow almost 25 years on this earth without ever watching The Notebook.
I've even read the book.
That decade, huh?
I mean, I read the book first. What was better? I was trying to impress someone. That's the same. Okay. They both die in the end, so.
Spoiler! Whoa! Wee-woo! Yeah, never watched it. I've seen a fair share of rom-coms just because I'm not like a rom-com person.
Yeah.
But sometimes there will be a rom-com that I don't know how to say this. It looks kind of different than like your average run-of-the-mill one. I think the last one I saw was actually around Valentine's Day last year. I went out with someone and saw that Rebel Wilson movie, Isn't It Romantic?
The one that basically makes fun
of rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Most of them are, though, I feel like. Some of them can be really bad.
Yeah, I mean, the ones where like, there's one where the guy is, I can't remember exactly, but he time travels or something, or he puts notes in a mailbox and it somehow ends up in the current, I don't remember. Anyways, I'm talking out of my head, I guess, but.
Was that not The Notebook?
No, I'll find it
I
out.
Swear
I'll find
to God,
out
I thought that was The Notebook.
I'll find out what it is. But yeah, that you know, those are just stupid. I'm not a fan of that.
That was the thing about that Rebel Wilson movie is the fact that it just made fun of like how predictable all those types of movies are and how they all kind of follow the same type of script and they all have the same cookie-cutter cast of characters. There's always the, I think in that movie it was like it was from the woman's point of view. So there's always like this co-worker who's always like super competitive and things like that, and just has an awful attitude problem. She has like the cliche gay best friend, just other stuff like that. Just nothing made sense about it.
Yeah.
So that's like the last one I saw here. I've got this list here from Billboard, okay, by the way.
Yeah.
They actually have like the 50 most romantic songs of all time. I'm not going to go through all 50
okay,
here.
Okay, thank you.
But let me run through some of these in the top 20, though.
Yeah.
Ready for some of these? Give me your quick opinion on these.
Okay.
This is Billboard's top 20 most romantic songs of all time. At number 20, we have Vision of Love, Mariah Carey.
It's what?
Vision of Love, Mariah Carey.
I don't know that one, I don't think.
Really? It was a number one hit for 4 weeks in 1990.
I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. Were you a fan of Roxette? It Must Have Been Love?
That's good. Okay.
Another Mariah Carey song, Love Takes Time. Mariah kind of dominated the 90s.
I don't know. Whatever.
I'm going to skip around here a little bit. Oh, this is a good one. Number 14, Queen, Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
It's in the top 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't Dwight Yoakam cover that later on, too? That's a good song. I mean, Queen is, they're great regardless.
The Live Aid version of that.
Yeah.
Part of that whole Live Aid. Oh, it's just absolutely fantastic. Let's see here. I don't know. I think they might, because it's Billboard, I think they might have like factored in if it was a number one hit when it was released here,
probably,
too. Because I see it number 12. It's by Paul McCartney and Wings, but it's not Maybe I'm Amazed, which is a top five love song. Instead, it's My Love. I can't remember how that one goes.
I don't know how that goes either.
But I know Maybe I'm Amazed. It's absolutely fantastic. Oh, not that long ago, Leona Lewis, Bleeding Love.
Keep bleeding. Ooh. Keep bleeding.
Oh, so catchy.
Yeah, that's going to be stuck in my head now.
Let's see, I'm in the top 10 now. Number six. This may be controversial to some. Is this even a love song, though, because it's technically a breakup song? I Will Always Love You, Whitney.
Yeah. Whitney version? Okay, yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Whitney
Dolly
version charted number one. Dolly's didn't, unfortunately.
It's all right. Dolly got money for it, so it's
she
fine.
She really did. Yeah, that was number one for 14 weeks in 1992.
Wow.
Whitney hit that note, man, and it was all over.
Okay.
Y'all played this on the drive. I caught this on the way over here. How Deep Is Your Love?
Yeah.
Bee Gees.
Yeah. Russ didn't know that song. He had never heard that before.
I couldn't believe that when I heard that.
Yeah.
And he even said he's a big Bee Gees fan?
Yeah.
How do you say that and not know How Deep Is Your Love?
Well, when it got to the chorus, Trey started singing over top of it, so I think it was he didn't hear it.
Probably just drowned himself out on purpose, probably. Oh, no, I don't really blame him. No offense, Trey. No offense. Number three here, again, not that long ago, 2011, Rihanna and Calvin Harris, We Found Love.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good song.
That's a club song, too.
Yeah,
just
that's
how
good.
Like EDM it is. Okay, number two, I'll Make Love to You Boys to Men.
I don't know how that's not number one. That's like that should be number one.
Number one, according to Billboard, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie, Endless Love.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Number one for 9 weeks. I wonder what other lists have, because I feel like there's some they are missing. Because I think I have my personal top five. I replied to Cody. I had things like Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis, The Goat, Your Song, Elton John, which Cody had Your Song as number one, too. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Layla, Derek and the Dominoes, a.k.a. Eric Clapton.
Okay.
Layla's one of the best songs of all time, period, so I had to put that in that top five. I had things like that. I don't know how Billboard went about making this list here. But yeah, that's what they have, some of those. John, I'm going to assume when we keep coming back in from breaks here, you're going to find all the love songs that you can.
Yeah, I'm trying to hunt some down. Yeah.
There's some in there. Oh. Unchained Melody.
Yeah.
The Righteous Brothers. Think about Ghost.
Where's that on the list? Or are you just reading?
I'm just reading some random lists, but that's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
This is going in order from like the 50s up here. I have to leave you with some more here. Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Yep, classic.
Oh, this is good. how about this? Break out the eyeliner. It's just like Heaven by The Cure. Shout Robert Smith. We're going to hit this first break here, though. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to get into the sports stuff when we come back. Tennessee has a pretty big challenge on the road tomorrow at South Carolina. Let's talk about that one when we come back. It's a Valentine's Day edition of Overtime. Back after this break.
Cindy and Scott are newlyweds.
Whoopity-doo!
He loves her, but she loves this guy right here. And he loves somebody else. You just can't win. And so it goes until the day you die. This thing they call love.
Oh, it's such a classic.
I hate you.
I did not know we had that in there.
Oh, I love it.
I've not watched that.
Here comes.
Love stinks.
Love stinks.
Oh man, welcome back to Overtime here, Valentine's Day edition. Love's in the air. What we love, even though it's not been that kind to us at points this season, we still love some Tennessee basketball. Got a good chance to give us a V-Day weekend surprise tomorrow if you're able to go on the road to Columbia, knock off South Carolina, which when we mentioned this one yesterday, you got to remember, yeah, Tennessee did beat South Carolina. Yes, South Carolina has some god-awful losses this season, but since conference play, man, they've been solid. Man, they've been solid. They've had a good run as of late. They got a better record than Tennessee overall and in the conference. Carolina staying at 7-4 in the SEC, a game ahead of Tennessee. Of course, if the Vols want to continue to build up that resume, make themselves look better to the selection committee, getting a road win in the conference, it's going to help you. It's going to help you a long way. And also, when you look at conference standings as well, if you want to make a run towards maybe potentially getting that top four seed, getting that double bye, or, you know, at the very least getting a single bye, that would go a long way as well. You got to win these games coming up here. You're certainly going to have some tougher matchups. I don't want to understate that it's not going to be easy tomorrow going to South Carolina and getting a win. They looked very efficient for the whole 40 minutes against Georgia the other night. And I get Georgia has fallen off the face of the earth, but they did go on the road, took care of business. And we've seen teams like LSU in this conference go on the road to Vanderbilt and lose. Road games aren't guaranteed in this conference whatsoever. You got to be on your A game tomorrow against South Carolina. Once again, having Josiah Jordan-James for at least a little bit would go a long way. Whenever he does come back from his hip injury, I don't expect him to play like a full slate of minutes. Just to still have extra options, though, it's not going to hurt you, especially when you're going to have to deal mainly with A.J. Lawson of South Carolina. Fantastic guard for them, averages 14 points a game. He's going to be one of their main scoring options, and also you have a lot to deal with down low as well. Cozart is going to be down there for John Fulkerson and company to handle as well. So it's going to be a tough team. I'm kind of expecting a game that goes kind of similar to the one that we had in Knoxville. I think there might be better offense in this one, though, but something that's physical, something with not a whole lot of breathing room.
Yeah, physical. I think that's what we're going to see. Physical, defensive. If anyone scores over 70, that there's something off, I think. Hopefully it's us that scores over 70. Kotsar, that guy, their center, that feels like he's been here for like 12 years. He's been at South Carolina. He's really their only post presence they have. I'm not really concerned with him. He's never really done any damage against us. He's always just gotten in foul trouble. So I see Folky matching up with him. I see that guy getting a couple fouls early and then having to sit for a while. I think that I feel like we're a different team now than we were when we played them to begin with. Triple J and Vescovi led us that night, I believe. They were both in the double digits in the teens and scoring. I think Pons had like 4 points that game. Bowden had like six. So that was out of character. for the team that we have now. Even when we lost to Kentucky, we still and lost to Mississippi State, we still had those guys scoring more. I think it's going to be close, and I think it'll at the end we'll pull away. I just think that we have more bodies, more guys that can do stuff.
You would hope so, and the biggest thing that's going to happen to get a win down there tomorrow, I am more concerned about how much production we can put up on offense. I think that I'm comfortable in our defensive game. I'm so comfortable in this team when it comes to rim protection, because we have not just the best shot blocker in the league in E. Pons. We also, as we've seen, we have a good cast of characters who can jump and block some shots. I'm not as worried about that. I think that still good perimeter defense. We're solid all across the board defensively. The thing I'm worried about is the fact that you're going to have to produce a whole lot more against this team this time on offense than you did back in Knoxville. South Carolina, got some stats here. They have been playing much better recently on the defensive side of the ball. So, per their last 10 games, according to Bart Torvik, one of the big stat analytic guys, South Carolina's defense has posted the 11th best adjusted defensive efficiency over their last 10 games. They've held some pretty good offenses like Arkansas into some pretty bad outings. But the other thing here, too, is how long is this going to keep up? Looking at some more of these advanced stats here, what's really been the cause for South Carolina's better defensive performance is the fact that their opponents, they're letting them take three-point attempts. They're just not converting. But then that makes you think about, we have shooters, Tennessee does.
Yep.
But will this be a good day or a very cold day? Will we know when to stop, you know, firing off from deep? Because we've had games where we just don't stop and it ends up hurting you really, really bad. I can think of several examples. I can kind of think of Kentucky. I can think of other examples where you've kind of shot yourself out of having a chance in
Texas A&M.
Oh, especially Texas A&M.
Rick Barnes said it before the game against Arkansas. If we shoot between 16 and 20 threes, we win the majority of those games. And against Arkansas, we shot like 14 or 15 threes, or maybe 16. But we were below or within that range, and we won. So shot selection, we don't need to just settle for the three. We need to drive. Bowden, Santiago, Obi-Wan Vescovi, they need to drive the ball. Pons, drive the ball. And then kick out if we need to. But it's that being patient on offense. Let Santiago push us. He said in the postgame Arkansas that he pushed more. He went faster than he had been going. And that's something Rick wanted him to do. And you saw the results of that. He played out of his mind. And once he gets going, everyone feeds off that, I feel like.
In game one here, so Vescovi started that one as well. I feel like we'll see.
Which game was that for him?
So I was about to say that. Which number?
Yeah,
was? I think that was his third game.
Third game,
because okay. That was the third conference game. So in that one, did some good things. He was really great at converting free throw attempts. 7 of 8, got to the line, made his shots. 13 points, great. Hit 2 threes, great. But the thing you remember about early Vescovi games is just the ungodly amount of turnovers. He did have 7.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously has been so much better at cutting those down. That might be the big difference. That really might be the big difference, because if these two type of teams are going to be evenly matched like they were in Knoxville, extra possessions, it's going to be key. Mm-hmm. It's going to be big time key. I'm a lot more confident in Vescovi. As is everyone, but especially going into an environment like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No question. And the students are always loud there. Vescovi, everything rides on him. I feel like everything's on him now. How he goes, we go. If he's turning the ball over and being careless, which he hasn't been since probably fourth game that he played, maybe. It's when things started kind of changing for him. He is the spark. I was saying a few minutes ago, he's the spark. When he's dishing to Pons and Pons just slamming it on people's faces, when Pons is able to post up down low and be away from the 3-point line, that's when we're playing our best. When Pons and Fulkerson are down low, taking care of business down low, and and Vescovi's able to drive the ball, at least to the free throw line.
Switching back to Josiah here, because I'm thinking this could be a game that if he feels like he's able to play, he would want to play. He's back in his home state. I mean, I get that he's from Charleston, he's not from Columbia, but still, that's in his home state. I would think that he would have a lot of people that he knows from his hometown there to try and support him. I feel like if he thinks he's good to go, he's going to give it a shot. If that's so, John, do you think it's better to put him back in the starting rotation, or are you just more comfortable with him riding off the bench and seeing what happens?
Come off the bench. Because if you don't need him, he's going to have other chances to play in South Carolina. There's no reason to rush him out there. If we're winning, you know, 15, 20 points, why rush it? Why force it? Let him rest. Let him actually get better. I don't think he's been healthy all season. I really don't think so. Kansas maybe was probably the best game he's ever had. Wait, was it Kansas? No, it wasn't Kansas.
Kansas was actually the worst game he's ever had.
Which game was it?
It might have came before Kansas.
Yeah. Anyways, he had an incredible game, but since that game, he looked like he got worse again. I think it's something that's plagued him since the summer, and now they're saying it may be a hip.
It's a hip
issue.
Thing.
So
yeah, it's a hip issue. It's something that goes back to high school.
That's not something that heals fast.
Nope.
And it can become something serious. So I say, unless you just have to have him, leave him on the bench, just in case.
I'm trying to look at I know what type of game you're talking about here. Let's see. Well, the last time he had like a high scoring output, I mean he'd been consistently getting double digits, but he did have 15 points, 5 rebounds against LSU. He went.
I think it was the LSU game. Him and Vescovi both were.
That was his last kind of efficient scoring game. Now he had a good overall game at Mizzou, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks as well. Against Vandy, he didn't light it up by any stretch of the imagination, but he had 6 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. He's had some good games every now and then, but you can tell that it's just he's been hurting.
Yeah.
Our boy's been hurting. So
he needs to just rest, and until we need him, just leave him on the bench. Leave him there.
I think we can win without him. You're just going to have to make sure, hey, repeat. What was the one big key in making sure you dominated Arkansas like you did? You actually had really good bench production.
Yeah.
Give me good Olivier Kamwa again, man. Been waiting to see that since conference play started.
Olivier has problems when he's playing against athletic big guys. Kentucky, for example. LSU, athletic big guys. Ponce has the same issue. South Carolina doesn't have that. And so I feel like this is an Olivier game. This is a Pons game. Urosh, we might see him do something. Who knows?
Don't hold your breath.
You never know. I mean, he played well in Alabama. So it's random with him.
Hoping for a random good one tomorrow. Let's hit this break here. And 865-546-8200 is our number if you would like to hop on this Friday. 546-8200. Cruising along in hour one of overtime. Back after this break. I've never watched this entire movie.
Don't let go, Jack. Don't let go.
I've never watched all of Titanic. But, I mean, it's impossible to... Well, when I say impossible to know what happens, I mean, the Titanic hits the iceberg and sink. I mean, like, the whole Jack and Rose thing. But, I mean, everyone knows about it. It's like a big pop culture thing. It's like, spoiler alerts, like knowing that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. It's just one of those things that just, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. It's a fine movie, whatever.
I mean, I didn't know if you were going to judge me for not watching the entire thing.
I'm not judging you. That was
I just didn't know.
Fun fact about John Tyler, that was my very first date ever was to that movie. I was in 7th grade.
Oh, original release.
Yeah.
What was the conversation like about that movie back when it was first released?
Oh, it was just like this epic, incredible movie, you know? Like, people were so obsessed with it.
Oh.
But imagine 7th grade John Tyler sitting there with a lady in the movie theater, and then the Jack painting scene comes
on. Ooh, awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward when her, especially considering her parents were sitting like behind us. It was weird.
Oh no. Oh, you went on a supervised.
I was in
stage.
Seventh grade. I mean, I couldn't drive.
I didn't say that. But I mean, I didn't know if, you know, she might have had the top of parents that just dropped her off in the theater and picked
her
up later.
Well, no, she was in eighth grade though.
Oh,
older woman.
Oh, look at that! You were going after Cougars, John.
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah.
Man, well, okay. Yeah. I respect it.
It was a good time.
Did you? Well, I was going to ask before you said her parents are there. I was going to say, did you do the old stretch out and then your arm just?
No,
goes
I was
over
a gentleman.
Shoulder.
I was raised to be a gentleman.
That's good. That's like that's the oldest movie trick, movie theater trick in the book.
And nowadays it doesn't work because you got the big armrest between you. You know.
They might be reclining.
Yeah.
It's like you can't do that. Can't do that. The experience has been, it's been soiled for some people. They'll never know.
I was I enjoy the reclining seats personally.
Same.
But I was, when the new Star Wars movie came out, went and saw it at, it was like 11 o'clock at night or something the night it came out.
Best time.
And it was, you reserve your seats, all that stuff. It was packed, sitting there. And I start hearing.
Were you at Cinnabar, by the way, in Westtown?
Yes.
Okay, I saw it. I saw it at Cinnabar
see?
Too.
So
wait. We might have been at the same damn showing.
Maybe
because I saw it on opening night.
Creepy.
That's weird. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So I was sitting, and then I had a friend beside me, and then beside her was a gentleman, and then beside him was a lady. And halfway through the movie, I start hearing.
Oh no.
And I'm like, where's that coming from?
Oh, no.
So, get to the scene where...
Do we need to give a spoiler?
Yes, spoiler alert. If you've not seen it...
If you're listening, we are going to give you your 5-second warning. Spoiler alert, especially if you're listening on the podcast to... Okay, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi. Spoiler alert, go John Tyler.
When Rey and Kylo kiss,
oh.
I look to my left, and I kid you not, a woman was snoring as loud as humanly possible in her guy's lap.
Mm.
I mean, loud.
Yikes.
And I'm like, in this moment,
Raylo,
this is what's
man.
Happened.
She ruined Raylo. Were whatever. You a fan of that, by the way, Raylo?
The whole movie, I was just kind of weird about the whole movie. I think I went into it thinking it was going to suck so bad just because the last one sucked so bad.
My fear too.
And it was late and I don't think I was in the right mindset to watch it. I need to watch it again and kind of appreciate, because usually I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome, or oh man. But it, like even in the last one, when Rey and Kylo fought together in the one before this one, I was like, yeah. But this one I was just like, eh. Oh, really? Oh, okay. I don't know.
Me and my friends, the two I saw it with, we kind of developed the same reaction to it. It was a fine movie. It was fine. I think it did a lot of things just fine, and in some cases, even really good to great. It was an okay movie, definitely better than The Last Jedi. The one thing, and we all agreed with this, that would have made it a great movie, I wanted, even if it was for like 5 to 10 seconds.
Rose to die?
No. She pretty much died already because they pretty much wrote her out of the movie.
But, sorry, go ahead.
But Anakin Skywalker Force Ghost. Where the hell was it?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Oh, you get to hear Hayden Christensen's voice. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The voice thing was cool. Got to hear Ewan McGregor. You got to hear Samuel L. You even got to hear, if you watch the Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano's voice. That was cool. I wanted Anakin Skywalker's Force Ghost. The entire movies are about him.
Yep.
He's the chosen one. Couldn't even get a Force Ghost. When the scene where Han's, it wasn't even like a ghost. It was like Kylo's like a memory or whatever. When his memory talked to him, it would have been better if it was Anakin. That's just me.
Yeah,
that's
that would have been a lot more impactful, I think.
I'm nerding out here. I'm sorry. You just made me think about how mad I was about it again. It's okay. It's okay.
I apologize.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Sorry. Back to South Carolina basketball. They've been in the news, I think it was yesterday.
It was late yesterday, yeah.
Late yesterday. So how about the timing here? You're going to play South Carolina basketball tomorrow. South Carolina's basketball program has received an NCAA notice of allegations over the big FBI probe into college basketball. Uh-oh. Ray Tanner, athletic director, said yesterday that the school received the notice about a violation alleged to have been committed by former assistant coach Lamont Evans, who worked for Frank Martin for four seasons from 2012 to 2016. NCAA, they categorized the infraction as a level one. That means it's the most serious one. The NCAA's letter said a panel of the Committee on Infractions should review what it called a, quote, severe breach of conduct. So Lamont Evans, of course, he's tied to the whole federal probe because he went from Carolina to Oklahoma State. He got charged back in September 2017 and last year admitted to accepting $22,000 in bribes as a college assistant to connect players with the guy connected to everything, Christian Dawkins, trying to represent them after college. Uh-oh. Evans last summer got sentenced to 3 months in prison.
We talked to I just blanked on his name. The guy, a guy who covers South Carolina, reporter that covers South Carolina on The Drive, we talked to him. He basically said that no one on the staff is named in it. No one else on the staff is named in it, and the player's gone already. Like,
it was PJ Dozier.
Yeah,
and
so they don't think anything's going to happen with it in the end, pretty much.
Yeah, what can you do if it was not really connected to anyone now?
They may go on probation, but not like a major probation where it's going to affect them at all.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
If I'm a South Carolina fan, even though you're not a blue blood school, I'm still not worried about getting anything severe because
no.
I mean, what the hell's happened to LSU? What's happened to Arizona in this probe? What's happened to, we still don't know what might happen to Kansas, but I guarantee it's not going to be like a death penalty or anything like that. You look at what's happened to these programs recently, I would have no reason to fear anything. The NCAA, man, it used to have these really sharp talons that they would dig in the programs. Those talons have been sawed off.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it if I was South Carolina. And like, even as a fan, I'm just like, okay, whatever. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, it's NCAA, so nothing's going to happen.
Again, this is what they do here. The NCAA gets so mad at programs like Duke and Kansas that they throw the book at Eastern Washington. It's what they do, man.
Cal Poly got a huge penalty a couple weeks ago, too.
That Cal Poly thing, man. Wasn't it like multiple programs?
They have to. I know Cal Poly... The entire athletics department has to vacate all wins and records. But in
the
like
entire athletic department?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Because they paid, they gave a stipend to players for books instead of the way the NCAA wanted them to do it. But it was only like a $75,000.
Yeah.
Nebraska had the same thing happen in the early 2000s, and they spent like over $700,000, and nothing happened to them. So, yeah, poor Cal Poly.
Man, that's... Dadgum, that's crazy. And I'm looking at some stuff here. Apparently, Cal Poly's had like they've had a history of getting in NCAA trouble too, going back to the 80s.
Yeah, rip.
Man, the Mustangs, what a dirty program. The Cal Poly Mustangs up there with the Mafia, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely filthy. Let's hit another break here and come back to wrap up hour one of Overtime. 865-546-8200. Cruising along on your Friday evening. Valentine's Day, love is in the air. Back after this. Wrapping up hour one of Overtime, Valentine's Day here, Sing It, Young Michael Jackson. We're brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Go pick you up some Truly for this weekend. You can find you 13 plus varieties here, so you got 13 of the original flavors here, anywhere from raspberry lime to wild berry. All sorts of good stuff. Then you have the four lemonade varieties of Truly. Pick those up. Original, mango, strawberry, and black cherry. They all have 100 calories in a 12-ounce can, less than 1 gram of sugar, less than 2 carbs, 5% alcohol, and it's gluten-free. There you go. It's easy to drink. Drink what you truly want to. It's light and refreshing. So pick you up some truly hard seltzer. Drink what you truly want to. We're at the end of this hour here. And, John, do I dare look at the Bud Elliott thing about his bowl predictions?
Yeah, let's
do,
sure.
Do we
let's
have
do
time
it.
To go ahead?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. It'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be fine. Everything's fine.
Okay. Well, I had it here. But basically, so I remember some of the ones that he had. He had predictions like, well, this was like a no-duh. Programs like LSU, Baylor were going to take a big step down.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take a step up of your LSU?
Considering all they've lost?
It's obvious for Baylor because think about the season they had under Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
And I mean, not only are you having to implement the new Dave Aranda coaching staff, but also, I mean, at Baylor, it's kind of hard to repeat an 11-win season. It's just tough. It's just going to be tough. Not to say that Dave Aranda, you know, couldn't get it done. I just wouldn't think he'd have that good of a year in season one as well. But the other thing he did have, though, what's getting us talking about around here, is Tennessee prediction. So Tennessee's going to have the same win total in 2020 as they did in 2019. He points to the schedule here. Tough one, Oklahoma, of course. One of your home games is Alabama, and you're just playing that grind of the SEC as well. So I get where he's coming from there. My question is, A, do you see that initial take while we're sitting here in February before spring practice starts, before we know exactly how this is going to fold out once the fall gets here? Do you see yourself kind of agreeing with that?
Yes. I think it's more likely for us to have 7 wins than it is for us to have 9 or 10 wins.
I can't disagree with that.
I mean, if we had to do a poll, like a percentage, if we had to do a poll, I think more people would say it's more likely for us to win 7 games than it is, or 8 games than it is for us to win 9 or 10 games.
I've got the rest of this list, by the way. I'm about to go through some of this stuff.
The four games that we shouldn't win: Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we just win one of those and win all the others, how can we not be ecstatic about that? Right.
Exactly.
That's what I am expecting. Win all the games we're supposed to, and then win one of those four. At least one of those four.
Yeah, I can't be complaining that bad about it. My thing is, when you're trying to improve from one year to the next, now, I'll go ahead and say this year too, you don't want to, at this point, be consistently stuck at 7-5, 8-4. We didn't hire Jeremy Pruitt for that because, no. You know, that's what Butch was doing for a little bit here. We want to keep making the improvement and get up to back to a place where you have a shot at going to Atlanta every single season. That's what you want to have. You're not going to get that 7-5, 8-4 every single year. That's just not going to happen. If you have 8 wins again in 2020, I wouldn't look at the win total as much as I would look at, okay, again, of course, who were the wins?
Mm-hmm.
And also, how did the team look?
Who was the quarterback?
Who was the quarterback?
That's
I mean, is winning 8 games again with JG the whole season, is that an accomplishment? I kind of feel like it is.
No.
But no. With him, though.
That's all he...
I'm not praising him.
I don't want to jump on him.
I'm just saying.
I'm a big hater of him. I don't want to be that way, but if he cannot learn how to throw the ball on time, we're a 7-win football team, and we'll be nothing more than that if he cannot learn to throw the ball on time.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, just to have on record right here, as I sit right here on February the 14th, there's no point throughout the rest of this offseason I'm going to hold out hope that he's going to make leaps and bounds of improvement. He just is what he is at this point, which sometimes can be good. Sometimes he can be good, yeah. But most of the times he's just going to be
Missouri.
Meh. Yeah, exactly.
Kentucky.
He will win you some ball games. He will win you some ball games. He can make some plays, and we've seen it. He can make some plays to lead some game-sealing drives, okay? He can do that. He's not going to take you to the playoff, though. He's just not.
No. If if Harrison Bailey is not our quarterback after five games, it'll be it. I pray to God it's because Garantano is just killing it. But I feel like Pruitt has this obsession with him that he's just Garantano's the guy. He was the only starter last year, right? Not even Trey Smith. Mm-hmm. Garantano was the only starter. If he says that again this year, dude, he's going to lose so many people.
Unless, again, there is some type of improvement. A couple of other notes here on this bowl predictions. It's weird how Bud Elliott both said a transfer will win the Heisman, but he also says a running back wins the Heisman. I mean, like, transfer running backs are out there. Because when I think of, like, a running back Heisman winner, I think of only Travis Etienne of Clemson. That's the only person I think of.
That's the only one that really sticks out. I don't know.
There's Najee Harris at Alabama. I doubt
he's not a transfer.
He's not going to have a Derrick Henry season. No, he's not a transfer either.
He might have to have a Derrick Henry season.
Couple more here. Agree or disagree? Bo Nix, Auburn, 4,000 yards passing.
I could see it.
Okay. But
they don't have anything else.
And last here, do you agree with his prediction that Florida will win the SEC? Not the SEC East, but the conference.
I mean, I could see a world where that happens.
I don't think they beat Alabama. I don't think they beat Alabama. I don't care but if it's Mac Jones at quarterback.
Until Alabama or LSU don't win it, I'm not going to believe anyone else will.
I can't really pick anyone from the East, really, even if it is Georgia. Mm-hmm. Hour one is in the books. Hour two of overtime is coming up here. 1 hour down. One more remains on your Friday, Valentine's Day edition of the show. We're going to catch you on the other side. Help you learn to help yourself. Look around you, all you see are sympathetic guys.